We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello. Welcome to Redemption Church. It is good to see you all in the house of God today. That's such a great movie. But that scene is very silly because why is Doc so excited and so imperative that it has to be done right then? He's got a time machine. Anyway, welcome to our Future Family Sermon Series. We're going to be wrapping up this series today. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about your future family. You all have a future. You all have a family. And you all have a future family. So far, we have talked about your future marriage and your future children. If you missed any of the previous sermons, I encourage you to check them out. The videos are posted on our website. Now, you may think that a message about a future marriage or future kids doesn't really apply to you. But I challenge you to go watch those videos anyway, if you missed them. Go check them out. There's some good teaching there. Pay attention and listen for what God's word is saying to you. Now, for whatever reason, you may not see a marriage or children in your future. But today, I want to talk to you about someone who is definitely in your future. Jesus. Amen? He is definitely in your future. And I hope he is in your present. But I also want to talk to you about the future you. You are in your future, right? I hope so. You have a future. You have an eternal future. Amen? Do you realize that? You are an eternal being. Your future isn't just important to you. It is important to the people around you. You will have an impact on your future family, for better or for worse. You have the potential to do great things in your future. Praise God. Amen? Amen. You may not believe that, but it is true. You may not feel like you're a very important or influential person, but God works with the humble and the meek to accomplish great things. The Bible is full of stories of people who should have been nobodies, but who had an incredible impact on history. I would like to take today and just take a look at one of those stories. Who knows the story of Rahab? She seemed like a nobody. She's not somebody that you would want to get when you take one of those "which women of the Bible are you" quizzes online. You know what I'm talking about? Actually, my wife took one of those quizzes, and it told her, "You're most like Rahab." I don't know what that means. But she is mentioned in 4 books of the Bible. I'm impressed when somebody's mentioned in 1 book of the Bible, but she's mentioned in 4. So that's an influential person. She had an impact. She was a woman in the Old Testament. She's first mentioned in the book of Joshua. And really, she should have been less than a nobody. She was kind of doomed. She didn't really have a future. She was a woman, and in those days, women weren't as well respected as men. But on top of that, she was a prostitute, which was not a well respected occupation. But then above and beyond that, she lived in the city of Jericho, which God had told the Israelites to go and conquer and level, destroy everything. So she was in the path of an army that God had sent to level the city. She was doomed. But then she met 2 Israelite spies. And the Bible tells us that they needed a place to hide. And she said, "Hey, you can hide on my roof. You can hide underneath the thatch. Nobody will find you." They'd been sent to check out the city of Jericho and look for the weaknesses. But the king of Jericho knew that the Israelites were coming, and so he was looking. He was on the lookout for these spies. So these spies talked to Rahab, and she said, "You can hide on my roof." But then we pick up in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." Because they had heard how the God of the Israelites had parted the Red Sea and led them through the wilderness, and how he had conquered some nations that they had encountered on their way to the promised land. We pick back up with verse 11. She continued, "When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." Rahab saved her family. Now there's a whole sermon there. Don't cut ties with your family, even if you've lost communication with them for a while, even if they're living a lifestyle that you don't approve of. Don't cut them off. Don't write them off. Don't burn bridges there. Because you never know. One day you may be able to save them. One day they may be able to save you. God works through all people. You never know. But that's a whole nother sermon. Rahab saved her family. More importantly, Rahab saved her future. The next time Rahab is mentioned in the Bible, it's in the book of Matthew, in the New Testament. What's going on there? She's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. So Rahab was King David's great-great-grandmother. She was the great-great-grandmother of the greatest king of the nation of Israel. That's pretty amazing. And why is this mentioned in the book of Matthew? It's giving the genealogy of Jesus. It's going through Jesus' family tree. So Rahab was an ancestor of Jesus. Rahab was an ancestor of the King of Kings. Not just King David, but eventually King Jesus. In a way, she played a part in saving all of us. Now that's pretty good for a nobody with no future, right? Amen. So what about you? Who are you? Where will you be in 10 years? I thought about photoshopping a picture of myself to have like robot arms and a laser eye, and this is me in 10 years. I don't know what the future holds. I just got a smartphone. We don't know where we will be in 10 years. We don't know what the future really holds for us. Think back. 10 years ago, where were you? Could you have possibly guessed where you would be today? For some of us, maybe. Especially on some of the big details. We might have been able to have sort of a clue where we'd be in 10 years. But really, for me, I had no idea 10 years ago that I would be here today preaching in Redemption Church. I found this picture of myself from 10 years ago. A buddy of mine from college sent it to me. I still have that shirt. And some things never change. But back then, I had no idea I would be where I am today. I was a student in college studying engineering. So I might have been able to figure out that I'd be working as an engineer. But in Dallas, Texas, I hadn't been to Texas by that point in my life. And that I'd be married and have a kid? Maybe. That was always sort of a hope, but my dating life wasn't much to speak of at that point. Something I'm proud to share on the internet. Good job, me. I had no idea that I would be a pastor in a church in 10 years. I had no clue. If I could meet myself from back then, I'd be blown away by where I am today. We have no idea what the future holds. I have no idea where I'll be 10 years from now. Sometimes we wish that we could go back in time and warn ourselves to make different decisions. We say, if I knew then what I know now, I would have saved myself 10 bucks on that ShamWow because that thing was junk. We wish we could go back and tell ourselves about decisions that need to be made. Because where we are today is the result of the decisions and the actions that we took in the past. In the same way, what we are doing in the present will affect where we are in the future. In an ultimate sense, your future is up to you. In the end, you will either be with God or you won't. You make that determination. God has already done what he needs to do to make that happen. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us. Now it's up to us to believe in that, to accept and receive that salvation. But in the near term, you still have some control over your future. Now I realize there are unexpected situations that come up. We are influenced by chance and circumstance. In this world, you will have problems. Things will come up that you didn't anticipate. But the things you do today will have either a positive or a negative impact on your future and the future of others around you. Today, we are reaping the fruit of seeds that were sown in the past. Likewise, the seeds that we sow today will bear fruit in the future. What seeds are you sowing? Are you planting fruit that will bless you and others in the future? Are you sowing seeds? Are you working towards something better? Maybe in your education, or in your job, or in your family life? Are you sowing the seeds of faith by praying, reading God's word? Are you sowing seeds that will bear fruit like the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, pace, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Or are you planting things that will produce thorns and weeds? Bitterness, resentment, anger, fear. In my experience, in real life, people rarely plant weeds on purpose. Sometimes they may plant plants that aren't right for the environment that they're in, or plants that don't do what you expect them to. When I was a kid, our yard was almost taken over by a wisteria plant. But people don't generally plant weeds. Instead, weeds just tend to show up, or we bring them in unintentionally. The dandelion seeds blow in, or we get those little burrs on our socks, you know, and they fall off and sprout into more thorn bushes. But one thing people do plant are landmines. And they just sit there until someone sets them off, and they do incredible damage. We plant landmines in our own life when we've got something that we know is destructive, and we kind of try to bury it away or just, you know, cover it over and ignore it or pack it away. I know this is bad, but I'm going to put it down there and just hope nobody trips over it. The purpose of landmines, of burying them, is to protect the person planting them. But the result is that in the future, they hurt someone. They explode. And the person who put them there has no idea who it's going to injure, who it's going to damage, what's going to set it off. So what are you planting today? Are you investing in the future? Or are you threatening the future to protect the present? The thing is, we're always planting something. We can't really take a break. If we say, I'm not going to plant anything today, I'm just going to relax, I'm not going to plant anything, we're still planting something. We may be planting apathy. We may be planting complacency. And when we do try to sit back and do nothing, that's when the weeds start to grow. The weeds are like sin. They're always kind of there. And we have to work to remove them. If we don't, then they'll take over. Just like weeds. If you don't take care of weeds, then they'll take over. If you don't believe me, just leave your yard be for a year and see what happens. It'll look like my yard. If we have weeds or landmines planted in our spirit, then we need to work to remove them. We need to put in some effort. We need to dig them up, warn people. We need to confess those sins. Hey, I realize I've got a problem here. God, I did this. I know it's here. I need your help with this. I'm sorry about this. I need to get rid of this. I want to get it away from here. Get it away from me. I want to move away from that. We got to dig them up, get rid of them, confess and repent, turn away from those things. We got to dig them up and then sow something good in their place. To put it another way, C.S. Lewis said that every day in the decisions we make, we are becoming more like the person we will be in eternity. Either we are becoming better, we are becoming more like Jesus, or we're becoming worse. A decision to try to not try to become more like Jesus is a decision to be less like him. And we move a little bit through every decision we make toward him or away from him. Galatians puts it this way in Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. There's your future family right there. The family of believers. But we don't know who that family of believers is going to be. We don't know who our future family might include. All people could be part of the family of believers through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us be good to all people. And let us not become weary in well-doing. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, let me be honest with you. That's easier said than done. The truth is, we often do not reap the fruit of the seeds that we sow. At the same time, we often reap the fruit of seeds that we didn't plant. And the funny thing about planting and reaping is, it seems like usually only one person, either the planter or the reaper, is really aware of the work that has taken place or that needs to take place. When we're planting bad seeds, we often just kind of throw them out unthinkingly. We just sort of cast them about without thinking about what we're doing. And then later, when the weeds spring up, when they bear bitter fruit, somebody else has to come along and clean up the mess. And they're well aware that these got here somehow. And man, it is a burden to try and dig these out and clean this up. They're well aware of the work that it takes to get rid of those plants. But conversely, when we plant good seeds, that takes effort. That takes work. We got to prepare the ground. We got to sort out the seeds and make sure they're ready. We got to put in effort to get them in the right place and water them and care for them so that they'll come up and bear good fruit. We're well aware of the work it takes to plant those seeds. But then later, when people come along and enjoy the fruit of that labor, they can often take it for granted. Oh, hey, this is nice. They just walk through snacking on our grapes. They may not be aware of all the work that went in to making that happen. We need to be mindful when we enjoy the fruits of someone's labor that effort went into that. We should continue to care for that. And we should always be thankful to God for the work that He allowed to take place to bear that good fruit. There is something Christ-like in planting seeds that you know you will never reap. But being able to see the benefit of planting these seeds requires vision. We need to have a vision for the future. People love the idea of seeing the future. There's movies about it. There's all kinds of stories about it. There's still today fortune tellers. There's one in a storefront down the street from my house. People are always really excited by the idea that someone can tell them what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen in your life. They can predict the future. No one knows what the future holds. The day before the spies showed up, Rahab had no idea that she was going to save her family. She had no idea that she would be one of the ancestors of the king of Israel or the Messiah. The day before Jesus called the disciples, they had no idea that they'd be doing anything but fishing for the rest of their life. We have no idea what the future holds. You want a prediction about the future? You want me to tell you the future? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's in the future. Those are words you can bank on. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That's a prediction of the future that you can put your trust in. Because those are the words of Jesus. Amen. Nobody knows the future. We don't know what our future holds. But even so, it's good to have a vision for your future. Some people make 5-year and 10-year plans. To be honest with you, I hate making 10-year plans for my life. I don't know what it is. But even so, I do acknowledge that it's good to be organized. It's good to have an idea of where you want to go in life, what you hope for, what you hope to do. At the same time, it's always good to keep in mind Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I can make all the plans I want to, but ultimately, God's plan is the plan that I want my life to follow. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm not saying that this is a predestination thing. He foreordains everything that's going to happen in our life. No, he lets us make choices, and he lets us deal with the consequences of those choices. But of all the paths my life could take, all the plans that I could make, the one I really truly want to follow, the one I know that will work out best, is the one he knows will work out best. I want to follow him. And I pray for him to guide me in the things that I do. I've heard it said that a person without a vision is a person without a future. And a person without a future will always return to their past. If you don't have a vision for your future, then you'll end up going back to what you've done before. Whether it's worked for you or not, you'll go back to what's comfortable, what you've done before. Even if it's only led you to where you're at now, who cares? That's what you know to do. If you don't have a vision to get somewhere else, then you're just going to go back to where you were before. To put it another way, we tend to live our lives looking out the rear window. This came to mind because my son just moved up from a backward-facing car seat to a forward-facing car seat. Up until then, every time he rode in a car, he was looking out the back window. And that can be how we tend to live life. We see where we've been. We don't see where we're going. But if we want to direct where we're going, if we want to have influence on where we're headed, then we need to face forward. We need to have a vision toward where we're headed. We need to have a vision for the future. Now, I wish I had a great prophetic vision for every one of you today. I don't. But I do have a vision to share with you. We don't really know what our future holds, except one thing: God. We need a vision for our future. We need a vision of God. Who he is, how good he is, how much he loves us, what we are working toward, who he calls us to be. We need to have that vision. And we need to work every day to make it more and more clear to ourselves. Because if you keep that vision in mind, if you keep God in front of you as your vision of where your future is headed, and if you can get even a little glimmer of how great he is, then you will be headed in the right direction. You will tend to plant the right seeds. You will head towards him in that path that leads to a glorious future with him. But doing so requires faith. We need to have faith that the good seeds that we plant will bear fruit, even if we don't see that fruit, even if we don't get to harvest it. We need to have faith in our future that rests in Jesus Christ. So what is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I told you Rahab was mentioned in other books of the Bible. One of the places is Hebrews chapter 11. It's known as the faith chapter, where it recounts some of the acts of faith of some of the forefathers of Christianity throughout the Bible. Rahab gets mentioned in that chapter. In Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now, who did she have faith in? God. She trusted the spies. She trusted their word that they would spare her, but she had faith in their God. She said, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She had faith that he could save her. She had faith that her future rested in his hands. Ours does too. Do you realize that? Do you have faith in that? After this long list of people who had faith in God, Hebrews 11 concludes in this way. Verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. What is that something better? It's Jesus. We have received the Savior who was promised. And so now with us, and especially with Jesus, these forefathers who trusted in God can be made perfect. And so can we. Amen. Praise God. We need to have faith in our future with Jesus Christ, that we're headed towards something greater. That no matter what we face in this world, he will be with us. And ultimately, we will be with him and we will be like him. But we need to act on that faith today. We don't just need to have faith at some time in the future. We need to have faith today. Planting good seeds in our life, in the lives of people around us. Working to become the people that he calls us to be. Working to become more like him. We need that faith today and every day. And you have an opportunity to act on that faith right now. These altars are open, and I invite you all to come and talk to God. Step out on faith and reach out to him. Plant some seeds today. What kind of seeds are you planting today? Seeds that bring you closer in faith to our Lord?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.